In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Behold, a woman of Canaan cried out to Jesus, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Faith is bold, tenacious, audacious. Sometimes faith could be described as overly aggressive, forward. Some might consider it even obnoxious. The object of this trust is Christ alone. We're talking about Christian faith. It is the faith of a sinner who knows and believes God owes me nothing, and yet in Christ, God gives me everything. Forgiveness and mercy are undeserved gifts. That's what faith confesses and believes. Faith in Christ believes this with every fiber of faith's being. Jacob, in our Old Testament reading, was incredibly bold in his faith. No one deserved God's mercy less than the patriarch Jacob did. He was the second-born son of Isaac. He had tricked his brother Esau out of the birthright and stolen from him the blessing of his father. Esau hated him for it. And he vowed after the death of their father that he would kill his brother Jacob. So Jacob fled from Esau. And for about 2 decades, with his uncle Laban, he was humbled by the same kinds of treatment from Uncle Laban that Jacob so often had dished out to others. That experience of over 2 decades with Laban was a good experience. It taught Jacob something about his own sin and about his own unworthiness, about his need. It had a way of stripping him of self-reliance and casting him upon the promises of the Lord. Similar things not only happen to us in our lives, but they need to happen. To crucify the flesh, to show us our need, that we cry out, "Lord, have mercy." The Lord taught Jacob through the experiences that he didn't receive any blessing as a result of his own cleverness. He was a chosen son of the promise, and he was chosen as Isaac and Abraham before him by grace alone. On the way to meet his brother, not knowing what Esau would have in his heart still for him, after having spent years apart, the Lord meets him. And Jacob has this famous wrestling match with the man who is the Lord. Jacob was bold in that wrestling match, audacious. It lasted all through the night. I used to wrestle in my youth. There's nothing that expends more energy than a wrestling match. He would not let go of his Lord until the Lord blessed him. "Bless me, bless me, bless me. I won't let go." You see the audacity of faith. It's bold. It hangs on to Christ and the promises of the gospel. Because if it doesn't lay hold of Christ, it has nothing. This helps us understand the Canaanite woman in today's gospel. She was called to faith in Jesus by a simple yet powerful word of the gospel, the promise made to Abraham centuries and centuries earlier. In your seed, Abraham, the promise of a Savior, in your seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. She was not an Israelite, but she heard that promise of the gospel. This is for me. By the grace and Spirit of God, she came to believe that though she was a Gentile, Jesus was for her. Though she was a woman who had no standing to demand anything from the Lord, Jesus was for her. Though she was a poor, miserable sinner without any goodness of her own making, Jesus was for her. Though her daughter was afflicted by the destructive forces of darkness, Jesus was for her. Though the experiences of her life were filled with misery, heartache, and temptation to believe that she and her daughter were destined for hell, nevertheless, by the promise of the gospel, she came to believe, Jesus is my Savior. She's bold in her faith. She had no standing as a Gentile woman with an afflicted daughter. But she dares to pray that fervent prayer, Son of David, confessing him to be her Savior, have mercy upon me. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. She prays for her daughter and she prays for herself, for she has nowhere else to turn, and she lays hold of Jesus. The promise of the gospel and the gut-wrenching experiences of her life taught her that if she let go of Jesus, she had nothing. You and I need to learn that lesson too. Sometimes it takes the bitterest hardship and the most gut-wrenching experiences of our own lives to teach us that lesson. Sometimes it's in the midst of those experiences, finally, that the gospel and the promises of salvation in Christ, in his death and resurrection, in his holy absolution, become the sweetest and the most powerful to bestow comfort and peace. If she held fast to him, she and her daughter had hope, the hope of salvation. And in the language of St. Paul, this hope would not disappoint them because it wasn't wishful thinking. It is the sure and certain promise of the gospel that faith lays hold of. It is the kind of hope that is resilient, just as the audacity and boldness of the faith that claims those promises. And this is what Paul taught in his epistle. Tribulation produces perseverance, he wrote, and perseverance character. And character, hope. This kind of hope born of faith in the gospel is a miracle of the gospel. And this faith and hope in Christ, again, using the language of St. Paul in today's epistle, does not disappoint. Does not disappoint. Because the love of God was poured into her heart by the Holy Spirit, who was given to her by that same gospel that faith held fast to. This Matthew 15 encounter that the Canaanite woman has with Jesus seems so very off-putting, doesn't it, to our human sensibilities? Jesus and the disciples seem downright rude, if not nasty, to this woman. Jesus answered her not a word. Beautiful prayer, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Silence. The disciples urged him, send her away. This Gentile Canaanite woman cries out after us. She's bugging us. Send her away. And then he seems to agree with her. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In response to this, she worships him. The audacity of faith, the boldness of trust in Christ. She's undeterred. And then, He says it would not be right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Is he calling her a dog? Yes. Unbelievable. Why does he do it? The boldness of faith is directly related to the assertions of the gospel. Think about it for a moment. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's pretty bold, isn't it? Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though, as St. Paul said, in your flesh and mine there dwells no good thing, who will deliver us from this body of death? Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory in Christ. That's pretty bold, too. Using the language of Martin Luther, that we who are nothing but a poor maggot sack full of festering foul sin and death, God saves us by a pure gift of his grace. That is as bold as the faith that clings to that promise for hope and comfort. I know it's off-putting to hear Jesus treat her this way, but by so doing, he reveals the true nature of faith. Christian faith is bold. It is audacious. It is tenacious. And it is resilient precisely because it is the trust of an unworthy sinner only in Christ and in Christ alone. Jesus knew the faith of her heart. That's why he treats her this way, to reveal that faith to us. His Word and the Holy Spirit had created that faith. He knew what it was. He knew what that faith could withstand because he knew what that faith trusted in. And in his incredible treatment of this woman, he reveals the boldness and the tenacity of the miracle of faith that the gospel creates in our hearts. It withstands everything because it is a miracle. By the treatment of this woman, Jesus wants us to learn that the singular focus of our faith is in him and in the promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation in Jesus' name, so that we don't let go of them no matter what we experience in life. We're called to hold fast to Jesus. Like Jacob, who wrestled with the Lord all night long and would not let go until the Lord blessed him. Or like the Canaanite woman, who would not let go until Jesus was merciful. And even in the midst of all this off-putting treatment, she worships him. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus said, "Oh woman, great is your faith." Why? Because the sole object of her faith was Christ and the promise of the gospel. Consider this about what this woman experienced from Jesus, which seems so off-putting to human reason. Everything about it was true. She didn't deserve a word from Jesus, neither do we. We deserve to be sent away because of our sins and the covetous desires of our heart. She had no right to ask for mercy by any merit or worthiness in her, and neither do we. He was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because salvation is only through the Jews to whom God made the promise, but the promise is for all nations. He's the only Savior. She didn't have a right to eat of the children's bread, and neither do we. But she did have the right of a sinner. And that's what the promise of the gospel gives to you and to me. The right of a sinner to claim an alien righteousness outside of ourselves, the righteousness of the Son of God who came for poor, miserable sinners like you and me. If we believe that God loves us because of something we have done, or because we deserve it, or because we are not as bad as other sinners, we will never know the certainty of his love or the peace of sins forgiven or the comfort of his mercy. But if you believe that Jesus is for you, though you are an unworthy Gentile dog, a poor, miserable sinner, that he's for you, then you know the gospel. If you believe that God loves you in Christ and that he has given you the free gift of salvation by grace alone and not by works, that Jesus willingly died for you to reconcile you to the Father, then you have peace with God. And that's what St. Paul says in today's epistle. Therefore, having been justified, declared righteous by faith in Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is a miracle of the good news of what Jesus has done for you. Martin Luther says, oh, faith is a busy and active thing. It doesn't need to be told what to do, because before it is even told, it goes out and does it. And what faith is always doing is fleeing to Christ and casting itself entirely upon him who gave his life for us and whose peace, which surpasses all understanding, guards our hearts and minds in that same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.